What does it mean to be a good citizen in 2017? What does doing citizenship look like? Is it voting, paying taxes, serving in the military, protesting injustice or resisting overreaching authority? Is it volunteering in your neighborhood school or some form of national service or running for office? I'm Paul Lazar, and for the next couple of weeks, we'll be sharing stories of civic engagement on WVIA. Tuesday night, June 6th, NPR comes to the Royal Theater at the University of Scranton for an evening of conversation and performance to ask, what does it mean to be a good citizen? It's a live video stream panel discussion featuring nationally known commentators, as well as regional residents with local stories of civic engagement and good citizenship. The host is Michelle Martin, weekend host of All Things Considered. You're invited to join the conversation at 7 p.m. June 6th. Tickets are available online at nprevents.org. There's also a very easy link on our website, wvia.org. In preparation for this event, WVIA is showcasing regional stories of civic engagement, citizenship in action. Today we hear from Denise Stadnick, advisor for the Weatherly High School Interact Club, and club members Jillian Bartel, Trey Dempsey, and Linnea Reiner. They talked about the Weatherly Interact Club, its doings, and the importance of being civically engaged. Tell me about the genesis of the Weatherly High School Interact Club.
To tell you the truth, I wasn't the original advisor. Mrs. Catcher was the original advisor, but Interact has gone back quite a few years. And she had originally been an Interact advisor at MMI when she worked there. And when she came to Weatherly, she started the Interact Club in Weatherly. So I took over, and then I was in Interact probably a good 5 or 6 years before I joined Rotary. And it was just a matter of kind of getting kids to know what it is and get them involved.
Why is it so important to be civically engaged today?
I think that it gives the kids a feeling of community and being involved. It lets them know where the needs are in the community. It helps a lot of different areas. We not only just involve ourselves with some of the stuff in our community, but we also collect money for UNICEF. So they're global. They kind of get to know what's going on in the world with UNICEF. We've done lymphoma, leukemia. We raise money for Lymphoma and Leukemia Society. We've done fundraising for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and we've had a few Interact kids that have actually become Big Brothers Big Sisters. So in that respect, it helps them learn what's out there and what they can do to help other people besides themselves.
It looks good so that people know that you're well-rounded and it gets you involved with other people and to get to know other people and just like that. So,
I think a lot of students have a lot of individualism, and with a group like this, it's more of a bonding experience and you have to go out and like meet people. So it gives you kind of like the people skills that you'll need after high school.
I think it's very important for students our age to go help people instead of just helping themselves, because I think that our generation has kind of been looked down upon for that reason. And not only Interact has helped me become more of a selfless person, but I'm actually a current title holder for the Miss America organization. So that helps me a lot with community service and meeting new people. I've met so many great people. Even just at the senior games, I met some elderly people who were so great, and they had so many fun stories to tell us that we wouldn't have been able to hear if we didn't get involved in the community.
You spoke about Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and UNICEF. Well, what are some of the other projects that have been done in the past? And give me an example of something that has stuck with you.
This year, just this past year, we did a stuffed animal drive for Father's Hope. And Father's Hope is an organization that was started a few years ago just by one gentleman who traveled to, I think, Nicaragua, South America. And he actually saw the orphanages down there and realized that these kids that are in these orphanages have nothing. So he wanted to do something for them. And the easiest thing he thought of was stuffed animals. And what he did was he gives each child their own stuffed animal, so they actually own something, because most of them in these orphanages have nothing. Even the clothes on their back are not theirs. They're handed down to younger kids as they grow out of the program. So the stuffed animal program hit me kind of hard, because you realize how much we have here and what our opportunities have. And then you look at the children in South America who have nothing, including the clothes on their back and no parents, and they're living in an orphanage. And to give them a stuffed animal and have it be mean so much to them that they now own something and it's theirs and it will be theirs forever. It just kind of hit, you know.
Pride of ownership.
Pride of ownership, exactly. So that was a project that we just did. We just finished it up. So we have to call Father's Hope and make arrangements for him to come and pick that up. We've done literacy projects. We've done the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. Every year it's something different. Like, we try to find a need and fill that need a little bit. And we are a small school, so okay, we don't offer thousands of dollars to these organizations, but every little bit helps. So whatever we can offer, we try to do.
That's it. And sometimes it's just making the effort for people and showing them there are people that care.
Right.
Actually, one of my favorite activities that we do is go and volunteer at the Eckley Miners Village for their Halloween trail.
Yes.
So we actually get to dress up as different zombies or anything scary. And it's a really great bonding experience for everyone and to get people into the community and visit Eckley Miners Village, which has such history. And I think that it's really important that kids our age get to learn about that history. So this gives them a great opportunity to come out and learn about it and also have fun and get community service hours.
Every year for Earth Day, we go to Tweedle Park, which is a local park, and gives that sense of community where we'll clean it up and make it nice again. And then a lot of it's more organized, more family friendly, and then it just gives that sense of community.
One thing that we just recently, for Valentine's Day, we did ice cream floats, and we raised money for
lymphoma, leukemia,
and then some of the other money we put towards the shoes that, it's one size fits all, so that you can keep adjusting them. And so these kids in Africa, they don't get a lot, so they need shoes that will withstand and are durable. So we helped raise money for that too.
Yeah, there was a gentleman that invented it. It's called the shoe that grows, and it actually can change five sizes. The same shoe can grow to five sizes. So he's actually created a shoe that gets wider and longer with snaps, certain snaps. So children, they said by being barefooted, it's a haven for diseases. So this way, these kids now have shoes on their feet and they'll be able to keep them for a long time. And that will help cut down on illnesses and different problems that they have. So,
well, that sounds like a success story of the Weatherly Interact Club. What are some other success stories you can tell us?
Big Brothers and Big Sisters is always a nice
thing.
Because that's local. So the kids actually see the benefit of Big Brothers and Big Sisters right away. So if we do anything for Big Brothers, Big Sisters, like I said, we've already had kids that have become Big Brothers, Big Sisters because we've been involved in that project. And that's nice because it is, like I said, it's local. So you can see the results right away. The cleaning up at Tweedle Park is nice because that's a park that isn't owned by the town of Weatherly. It's owned by it's a privately owned park, but it's open to the public. So they don't receive funding from the town to take care of the park. They have to do that all themselves. So with our kids going up there, they help the paint. They do the raking of the leaves every year and get them out of the park. They get it ready. They remove all the sticks and everything from the winter so the kids actually can go up and be a little bit safer in the park. So that's a nice thing too, because they actually do see the benefit of that right away too. Some of the other projects that we've done are a little bit out there, you don't see the effects of them. You give the money and after that you don't really see what happens to it. Like UNICEF, you donate the money to UNICEF and you know it's going to a good cause, but you don't really see those effects right away. So it's nice to have some things that we do right in town that you can see the benefits from right away.
Even just so, like the volunteering at our school with recently, the same day as the Tweedle Park cleanup, actually, we helped out with the third grade Scrabble match. So we got to, I think there was five of us, we went to the elementary school and got to score the Scrabble game for the kids. And it was really kind of crazy to see how great some of the kids are at Scrabble. I never played it because I moved here in fourth grade, so I never had that. So I love going over there and seeing the kids and how much they enjoy it and the stories they get to tell us. And just getting involved with the younger kids in our community is really fun.
That Scrabble tournament Rotary gives the third graders dictionaries at the beginning of every year. And then at the end of the year, we come back and we do a Scrabble tournament, let them use their dictionaries to find the words. So you can see exactly how much they've grown. You teach them how to use the dictionary, and then at the end of the year, you go back and see how much they've used the dictionary to learn some words. So that's kind of neat.
For around Christmas time, we wrote cards and also made cookies for Weatherwood.
Too. Yeah, that was a project we didn't even talk about. We have a nursing home directly across the street from us, the Weatherwood Nursing Home. And most of the people in Weatherwood Nursing Home are fairly elderly, and a lot of them don't have a lot of family left. So at Christmas time, what the Interact Club does is we sponsor a collection of gifts. So we run a dress down day for the teachers, and rather than paying a fee, they can bring in a gift for a resident at the home. And then we collect all those gifts and take them over to the home so that every resident at the home receives something on Christmas morning. And it's something they weren't expecting. So it's something, you know, like we've got t-shirts and sweatshirts and perfumes and things that they can use. So I really like that program a lot, because I could imagine, like, if you didn't have anybody, Christmas morning would be pretty lonely, and to get something under the tree that you didn't expect, and it's totally given without strings, it's pretty neat. And then also, directly across the street from the school is another nursing home, but this one is a, it's more or less like
high functioning.
Yeah, they're, the people can come and go as the, like a assisted living center. And what we do is the Interact kids will bake cookies, one batch of cookies each student, and they'll bring them in, and then we package them up in little packages and take them over to that home. Those residents receive like a little tray of homemade cookies from each one of us, which is kind of a neat thing too. So yeah.
I love the Weatherwood one we do with the gifts, because my grandfather was actually in the nursing home at that time, and he received a gift. And I remember we also brought him gifts, but he went in there and he was so excited that morning that he got a gift, and his friends came in and like they were showing the gifts to each other. It was just a really cool thing because he had family there for him, but not everyone did. So it was really nice to go and see the impact that we had in the nursing home.
Right. And I think that's such a nice thing to do for them. I just, you know, they don't get out and they don't have family. So this is something that they, you know, they know somebody thinks about them and cares about them. So I think that was important. I imagine if someone came to us and asked us to do something, we would do our best to try and help them out. You know, it's that kind of an organization. And if somebody sees, if we see a need, we try to fill it. So, and as long as we can, we will.
Denise Stadnick, advisor for the Weatherly High School Interact Club, and club members Jillian Bartel, Trey Dempsey, and Linnea Reiner, speaking with us about the Interact Club, its activities, and a few of the civically minded projects they've taken on in recent years. They spoke with WVIA in anticipation of the NPR event Going There, What Does It Mean to Be a Good Citizen? It takes place at 7 p.m. June 6th at the Royal Theater at the University of Scranton. Tickets for the event can be obtained at nprevents.org, as well as on our website, wvia.org. Over the past few weeks, we've spoken with members of Leadership Wilkes-Barre and Leadership Lackawanna, and this week, WVIA's Fiona Powell caught up with Sherry Watts and Carolyn Hawk of Leadership Lycoming about their organization, programs, and the good they do in their community.
Leadership Lycoming is a training program that identifies, assembles, and motivates promising young community leaders. It gives them the opportunity to learn what challenges our community is facing and to make their own investment in giving back to their community. The program was established by the Williamsport Lycoming Chamber of Commerce in 1987. It gives these potential and new leaders the opportunity to learn a better perspective of the county and its history, to network with area businesses and political leaders, discover the needs of vital nonprofit organizations within our community. They work with their classmates on a local community project, and we teach leadership skills as well at each class.
Let me ask why, and I don't know who wants to answer this one, whether you do, Carolyn, or you do, Sherry. Why is it important for organizations like Leadership Lycoming to take to do what they do? Sherry.
In a community like this, we have a lot of nonprofits, and they rely on our local community leaders to help support them. This program is an opportunity for us to identify those new leaders, prepare them to go out and be of service to other organizations.
Carolyn,
I came into leadership like coming probably later in the game because of where I was in my career and such. But you think you know everything because you've worked for so long in a community until you're exposed to a program like this. The new things that came about were just incredible. So I think it's something that's not only for new leaders and people coming are new to their careers, but even folks that have been around. The connections that you make and the experiences and the opportunities are, you just wouldn't have them without this program.
In order to get involved in Leadership Like Homing, it is an application process, and go through an interview process with a selection committee. Each year, we typically take between 25 to 26 applicants. They go through a 10-month leadership program. There's a 2-day orientation retreat in September, and then from there, they focus on issues such as health and human services, law enforcement, history and arts, leadership and community service, business and economic development, education, government, and environmental. And then we always have a closing session and a graduation at the end. Currently, we have over 600 graduates that are seen throughout our community that are serving on boards and volunteering on committees. So they make a huge impact in our community.
What sort of people join Leadership Like Homing?
There's a wide range of individuals. You may have someone that is just getting into a business career. You may have someone that has just moved to the area and wants to get to know the area, but may already be strong in their leadership skills. So we see a wide range of individuals, and it's nice to see the mix come together and them share their knowledge and experience with each other.
What are some of the current projects that you're working on?
Well, this year we have 5 projects working with 5 different human service agencies. So I'll tell you a little bit about each one. So the first one is with Family Promise, which is a local agency here in Williamsport that primarily works with homeless families. If you've heard of Family Promise, the families actually rotate from churches from week to week, and churches house them, and then there's some case management things that happen during the day, and some help with budgeting and job searching and that sort of thing. Well, they have this program that's called Earn While You Learn, where the participants in the program, if they do certain things or meet certain goals of their case management plan, they can maybe earn a microwave, or if they need a toaster, or maybe they need a set of bath towels, that sort of thing. So the class team has been able to put together the requirements and what that's going to look like so that it can be implemented actually in the next couple of months. So they've been able to formalize that for Family Promise, which has been kind of cool because they've also been able to be at the Family Promise community center and meet with some of the families and talk to them and learn more about the program. So the second program project we have is for Roads to Freedom. And Roads to Freedom is part of Center for Independent Living. And they needed help with planning, marketing, fundraising, and executing their annual wheelchair basketball that they do every year. And that event actually helps bring awareness to what Roads to Freedom offers for their clientele. And this year, the class team has been able to pull that off and raise over $8,000 for that organization. So that was very successful. And the class members there even participated on a team and got to play wheelchair basketball, which was really cool for them. So they've learned a lot about that program. The third one we have is Encourage, and Encourage is a financial, they do financial coaching, helping families and individuals with budgeting issues and credit issues, those sorts of things. And they were really in need of helping to put together a curriculum that made sense for them. They operate with a lot of volunteers. They don't really have, I think they have a part-time paid staff person is really all that they have, and then they're board run. So they looked to our group to put together that curriculum structure and what that was going to look like and really standardize it for folks. And I think the team has done a really, really great job of putting that together for them. The Learning Center is our fourth one. The Learning Center, it operates out of the James B. Brown Library, and they provide GED and literacy programming for folks. And I'm always amazed by the Learning Center. The statistics that I hear from them is between 30 and 35% of people here in Lycoming County can't read at a third grade level, which seems really high, but they have all the documentation to back it up. So we're really lucky to have them here in our community. But they always are struggling with volunteers, getting volunteers and volunteer recruitment. So our classmates were able to put together a program of how to market that and how to do some advertising for that and give them the tools that they can sustain that moving forward. And then our final one was Hope Enterprises, and I think everyone in Lycoming County knows about Hope Enterprises, but they wanted to do something neat this year, and they called it Dancing with the Superstars of Hope in Lycoming County. And they brought in well-known folks in the community to be the stars, and then they danced with Hope clients. And it turned out to be a really neat event, brought a lot of awareness and education. It was held at the Gennetti. Over 200 people attended. They've already have reached out and would like some help to maintain that event and do that from year to year. So it's a real wide variety of projects. And the beauty of it is as the project committee puts these together, we really leave it up to the class members to choose where what they'd like to work on, and we ask them to step outside of their comfort zone. So if they're already working in a marketing position, we don't want them to take up on a project that's marketing. We want them to do something that's outside of their comfort zone, and that has worked out really well.
What's the thinking behind that? It sounds like a wonderful idea to make people move outside their comfort zone, but what do you think are the benefits of doing that?
I think for me and for the committee, it's just for them to experience something new. When you're doing volunteer work, and hopefully as they graduate from Leadership Lycoming, they're going to do some things that are different for them. You know, we all get kind of stuck in those ruts of doing what we're comfortable in, but I think it's rewarding when you stretch yourself, and it certainly opens up other opportunities and other learning experiences when you try something new.
Sherry, do you want to add to anything about why people should think outside their comfort zone?
You know, especially through the program, we try to push people to experience new things, utilize the resources available. In each class day, we bring in leaders from within the community that have all types of expertise, and it's an opportunity for them to think beyond what they're comfortable in and to learn new skills and new tasks, so that when they do go out and volunteer, they consider doing something that isn't part of their everyday work. A great example is, you know, the financial people. We try to get them to look at something different as far mm-hmm. as the marketing side of things and not always focus on where they spend the majority of their day
where they're most comfortable.
Correct. I mean, they have assets there, but we also want to make it something that they're learning new things at the same time. Mm-hmm.
Could you speak about some of the projects that have been done in the past, especially anything that has struck you as being, and it could be you personally that you've been struck by?
Yeah, one of the projects last year was with the YWCA. And it turned out to be they wanted to look for a way to market their boutique that they have, which is gently used clothing. And the money that they make on that clothing is then put back into their programs. And the YWCA does an amazing job for women and children between their Liberty House program and their Wise Options program, as well as just making sure folks are getting connected to programs, other programs outside of the Y that they need. We are blessed to have the YWCA here in Lycoming County. So last year, our folks put together what they called Passion for Fashion, which was a fashion show. And not only did they show off the clothing that came in through the boutique, but they used Hope residents from the group homes to be the models, which was absolutely adorable. The clothing was beautiful. It was at Pennsylvania College of Technology. We had a great facilitator who is a professor at Penn College do that. He was hilarious. Everyone had a fantastic time, and the awareness that it brought about the YWCA programs was incredible. And I think a lot of the feedback that we heard was that the class members learned a lot about what the YWCA offers. Sometimes it's one of those best kept secrets here, and unless you need the service, you really don't pay attention to those kinds of things. And that turned to be a really eye-opening experience.
Who benefits from the projects that you do and the work that you do?
as far as Leadership Like Homing, the whole community at a whole benefits. The individuals that go through the class, those employers that are sponsoring these individuals are coming out with people with stronger leadership skills, stronger knowledge of the community, wanting to be involved. The networking opportunity that they are provided and the people they meet throughout all these class days. So in a whole, the entire community.
It'd be almost easier to say who doesn't benefit.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Why do you think civic engagement is important?
There's lots of answers to that, but coming from the nonprofit world, the feeling that you leave after you work in that line of work or you help out a nonprofit organization, the difference that you make, it just makes you as a person feel whole. It's just a rewarding experience altogether.
I totally agree with what Sherry says. We've both worked in nonprofit for a long time. So for me, it's about having a sense of purpose. And when you can give back to somebody or you can see that you have made a difference with somebody, that's worth more than anything in the whole world. And it's such a great feeling. And I think that's what we're trying to get our leadership class members to feel, because some of them have never done anything like this before. Some of them have never helped with a fundraiser. Some of them have never been to a board meeting. Some of them have never been to an event or helped coordinate an event. So, you know, we're trying to help them to do that. And I think overall the feedback we get is that, wow, that made me feel so good to be able to do that. So I think for all of us to participate in a community, that's part of what we should be doing is helping others.
Sherry Watts and Carolyn Hawk, members of the Leadership Like Coming Operating Committee, speaking with WVIA's Fiona Powell about the organization, its offered programs, and the impact Leadership Like Coming has had on their community. During the past few weeks, we've featured many stories of civic engagement in our listening area from a number of different organizations in anticipation of the NPR event Going There, What Does It Mean to Be a Good Citizen? It takes place at 7 p.m. June 6th at the Royal Theater at the University of Scranton. We hope that you plan to join us for an evening of conversation and performance to ask, what does it mean to be a good citizen? It's a live video stream panel discussion featuring nationally known commentators as well as regional residents with local stories of civic engagement and good citizenship. The host is Michelle Martin, weekend host of All Things Considered. She's been a journalist for more than 25 years at the Washington Post and Wall Street Journal and a regular panelist on Washington Week and Now with Bill Moyers for PBS. She was also a correspondent for ABC's Nightline for 10 years, winning an Emmy for her reporting on the ABC News magazine Day One. Now at NPR, in addition to anchoring Weekend All Things Considered, Michelle Martin hosts the NPR event series Going There, traveling across the country to engage Americans in important conversations about critical issues. You are invited to join the conversation at 7 p.m. June 6th. Tickets are available online at nprevents.org. There's also a very easy link on our website, wvia.org. In weeks to come, we'll feature many more stories of civic engagement, citizenship in action. I'm Paul Lazar. Special thanks to Fiona Powell and Annie Butkowitz. Thank you for listening, and join me again next Saturday afternoon at 4:30 as we continue to feature your stories of good citizenship on WVIA-FM.